Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
To share with you about Joseph, the man that God used 2,000 years ago to be the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why don't we pray together and ask the Lord. And before we pray, I would like to encourage all of you to have this kind of attitude in listening to the Word of God. Since I was a young believer, a brand new believer, every time I went to church, I did not go there just to get the Word of God come into my ear and come out and just decorate my brain. But I will listen, I will carefully listen and see what God is going to speak to you. What do I need to change? What God really want to deal with me today? And when I walk out the room of the church on Sunday, I know that something I need to change. I repented and I would do anything under the sun to be what God say in the word today. That's why the Bible say in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 that if you incline your ears to what I say, if you keep the word of God in your heart, and pay attention to what he say, then it will be like the medicine to your life. You will be healthy and strong, and you will be strong not only physically, but spiritually and mentally as well. Amen. So listen to the word of God carefully. Amen. Listen as if you listen to him directly, not to me. Because God wants to speak to you today. I'm just a vessel, a mouth of God to speak to you. Amen. So today we're going to look at Joseph. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we believe, Lord, that you will speak to your people today. We are here ready to be changed by your word, Lord. We commit our life to you. We are willing to repent. We're willing to change. If the word of God really speak into our heart and see something in our life that we need to change, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today we would like to talk about courage. Talk about being courageous. Joseph was a courageous man. And I don't understand courage very well until I had a chance to watch the video clip regarding the rescuer at the World Trade Center in September 11 of year 2001. And when I watched the rescuer went down into the chasms or the valley of broken concrete and the steel bar, trying to rescue or save the life of two police officers who were trapped by the concrete and were dying. If they did not go there in time, these police officers would die. But the rescuers risked their life. They climbed down. The broken concrete and cement can fall on them and they would die too. They also risk, they know that they have the risk of inhaling the fume, the dust and the smoke that happened on September 11. When I saw that courage, I understand how Joseph was courageous to do the right thing for the Lord. Let's watch the video clip quickly here. What happened after September 11? And why the nation, the U.S. nation, the United States, have to honor these men, the rescuers. It's a story of courage in the Bible that we can talk about it every Christmas season. And that man, his name is Joseph. He is a man of courage. If you look at the nativity scene, you saw that this man was standing close to the manger quietly. He didn't talk much. He was standing there quietly. His story in the Bible was very short. His name was mentioned only a short period, and his name was never mentioned again after the teenage year of Jesus Christ. People really talk about him very little in the church. But if you study his life carefully, you would see that Joseph was a very courageous man. And we're going to look at his life today together. In fact, a lot of time people talk about Mary, and we're going to hear about Mary next Sunday. Today we talk about Joseph. And sound like Joseph has a secondary job compared to Mary. Mary has a primary job. And Joseph has a secondary job as the parents of Jesus Christ. But the courage of Joseph was what make it possible for Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem. It was his courage that caused him to survive the life-threatening early years of his life. So many things happened in the early years of Jesus when he was a young boy. Joseph was the man that God entrusted the task of protecting Mary and the baby or the young child Jesus all along in those years so that Jesus would grow up to be the savior of the world. He was a brave man. And today I want to specifically talk to dads and men in this church to be like Joseph, to be courageous and brave like Joseph. He was a brave man who led Mary and Jesus safely along the dangerous roads to Bethlehem and also to Egypt and eventually back home to the northern part of Israel. It's interesting that God selected this man to protect the infant Jesus Christ in the dangerous first few years of his life. So we're going to look at his life together. Who is Joseph? How Joseph come into a very important role of the nativity scene here. I believe that God records this story in the Bible for us to learn something. In fact, Joseph is one of the men in the Bible that you did not find any mistake in his life. You know, you find mistake in the life of King David. You find mistake in the life of Abraham, in the life of even Joseph. But when you read about the story of Joseph, I'm talking about Joseph in the Old Testament. When you study about the life of Joseph here, you can see that the Bible never recorded anything wrong about him, but only about his courage. But first of all, we need to understand that Joseph was not a superhuman being. He was a simple, regular people like you and me. In fact, he was not rich. He did not have high education. He was a carpenter. He was a young man. I do not think that he was coming from a very wealthy family. He was not a CEO of a big company. He did not have University of Washington education. He did not have a lot of diploma on the wall. He was a simple, regular man like you and me from the physical and background point of view. But God still used him to bring about the Christmas story, to bring about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read the Bible carefully, you notice one thing that God never looked at those things. God did not look at your education. God did not look at your position in your company, how much money you have, how big the house you have, how expensive your car is. God looks at the heart. God chose people by looking at their heart and their attitudes and their motive and their life character more than anything else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, the Bible says, "For you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world and the things which are despised to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the best things of the world God has chosen, the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. But no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Joseph was handpicked by God. Joseph was chosen by God because he has the right character. He's the kind of man that God could trust to be strong enough in the midst of crisis of Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ when he was young. He was so strong and courageous to protect the family during the dangerous journey to Bethlehem and to Egypt. And we're going to look at the life of Joseph here little by little. Let's look at what happened in his life here. The man named Joseph lived a morally upright life. Look at Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 19. Now this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, in fact, in other translation, the Bible says, being a righteous man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. The Bible says Joseph was a righteous man. The Bible did not say Joseph was a religious man. He was a righteous man. You know, righteousness come by what? Come by faith. Is that right? Joseph has faith in God. Joseph had a deep relationship with God, the Jehovah. He was a man who feared God so much. He was a man who loved God so much. And he really knew God. He has a lot of God in him. That's why he was righteous. He has God character in him. He was courageous enough to stand up against his own sinful nature. He was strong enough to say no to his own anger and his own sinful nature. He did not do those righteous things out of duty, but he wanted to please the Lord. He was a man who feared the Lord and loved the Lord so much. He was so courageous enough to live a moral life. The Bible says he's a just man. He was living a moral life in the corrupt culture. You know that in that time, in the time that Jesus was born, the society in the Jewish culture at that time was not very righteous. They were full of religious people. The difference between religion and righteousness is this. Righteousness is about faith in God, relationship with God. But religion is about law. Religious people will seek politics, will seek power and possession. You remember religious leaders in the time of Joseph, they were looking for what? Power. They were looking for recognition. They want to stone people to death. They want to condemn people in front of public. They wanted to kill Jesus. They hated the anointing. Religious people hated the presence of God. But they want to throw the law on people. They want to bang people's head with the law and say, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm a good person. They never repent themselves, but they always point finger to other people and say that you are wrong, you are bad, you are not good. But Joseph was not that way. Religious people were that way. They were religious and they were self-righteous. But Joseph was the righteous man. You know, sometimes when you are around righteous people, you may feel uncomfortable. You may feel so convicted. And you don't like to be around them. That's why they kill a lot of prophets in the Bible. Because these prophets are righteous people, not religious people. I pray that our church will not be religious. I pray that religious demon will not come and take over this church. That's why we need to stay humble. We need to stay loving. Yesterday, I told Pastor Da, Pastor Da asked me about a decision in this church. And I said that, Da, honey, I make a decision to love. I'm not making a decision to condemn, to hate, and to judge people. Because that is religion. But righteousness is about love. I'm going to make a decision to love people no matter what. A righteous man will love people. Amen. Joseph living a life of moral purity. Purity. He lived a pure life. He did not cheat. He did not go do some bad stuff. We are living in the world that's full of impurity, full of corruptions, full of sins. You can read newspaper. You can turn on internet. You can go into the TV. You see all the immoral things in the TV. Sometime when I flew to Thailand, I click on the channel. You know, there are so many movies. Because you were sitting there for 15 hours to go to Thailand. So sometimes you flip. And it's amazing. Many movies talking about a man and a woman go together. They know each other for one day. And the next day they were on the bed. And I was watching that and say, wow, if our kids, our young generation watch this kind of movie, what they gonna think? But I have hope because I can be like Joseph, a man of moral purity. They're gonna show to my kids and to the kids of the church that a man can be courageous enough to live a righteous life and to stay on course with God, what God wants us to be. So that we can show example to this young generation that we're gonna live a pure and moral life. Joseph was an unusual man. He is the kind of man that all the children in the world are looking for as the dad. I want to encourage all the dads in this room that you should be like Joseph. You live a pure and moral life. Set up the standard in your home, not religiously, but righteously. That you will not cheat, you will not go into wrong things, you will not watch pornography in your home, you will not buy bad books, and you will not lie and gossip. You will not do wrong things. You will be moral and pure before the eyes of God and before the eyes of your wife and your children like Joseph. He's a man of moral courage. He is very courageous in doing the right thing in the midst of the corrupt society. Joseph was a man of manly courage. What does it mean? Joseph courageously restrained his anger and chose to treat Mary with love. You know, we all have the flesh here. We all have sinful nature. We have anger. Sometimes we don't like somebody. We look at somebody, we say, oh, I don't like that guy's face. And then we're going to let the flesh rise up and then start to act in hatred. And then we start to act in anger. Or we're going to be like Joseph. Can you imagine? I cannot fully understand what Joseph was going through. But imagine this way. Joseph heard that his fiancée Mary was pregnant. And you need to understand that at that time, engagement is equal to marriage. In a sense. Even though they haven't consummated their marriage. They haven't had sexual relationship yet. But they are committed to marry one another within a year. So to go out with another guy or to have relationship with another guy is considered adultery. And Joseph heard that, wow, my young girlfriend is pregnant. How are he going to explain that pregnancy? In his mind, I know, come up right away. My fiancée committed adultery. She might have slept with a guy in this town. Is that right? What kind of reaction that he has? When you face that news that your fiancé, young girl, is pregnant, how are you going to react? Not easy at all. Why don't we see the scene? How he reacted to that situation? Turn off the light, please.
Joseph.
Do you know? Do you know the reason I chose you, Mary? I believed you were a woman of great virtue. I have lived my life seeking honor. Honor. Mary, so how am I to answer this? If I claim this child is mine, I will be lying. You will have broken a law laid down by God.
I would never ask you to lie.
If I say this child is not mine, they will ask what I want to do. And if I accuse you,
there is a will for this child greater than my fear of what they may do.
Can you imagine if you were Joseph and you faced this situation? What kind of reaction you could have? Number one, you would be shocked. You would be very surprised. Joseph thought that Mary was a pure, God-fearing woman. And he must have been very shocked to the core of his body. Wow, my fiancé got pregnant. Not only that, deep sorrow. His dreams of marrying her was totally shattered. I cannot marry this girl. She is not a good girl. She committed adultery. The third reaction is anger. Is that right? You may throw her in front of public and stone her and want to kill her because she cheated you. And that is even the expectation of the religious people in his time, that if anyone committed adultery would be blamed in front of public and stoned to death. But Joseph was a man of integrity. He was a man who loved God so much. He is a man of godly character, that he was able to control his anger. He was able to control his mouth. And under these circumstances, he chose to forgive her and to cancel the engagement or the marriage quietly, instead of tell people about her mistake and cause her to be in trouble. He's a man of integrity. He's a man of love. You know, love covers multitudes of sin. Is that right? Everyone say love covers multitude of sin. He covered her. He did not go out to tell everybody that, look at my girlfriend. She got pregnant. Stone her. Kill her. She didn't do that. She was a man who is full of love, the love of God. You know, when I think about the issue of love, I think about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And the first fruit of the Spirit, the first category of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And that's why I love the touch of the Holy Spirit. The more you are touched by the fire of God, the more you are yielding to the Holy Spirit, the more you will walk in love. Is that right? Because the Holy Spirit gives you love, not condemnation, not judgmental spirit, not critical spirit. Joseph chose to love, chose to cover the sin, chose to cover the mistake of his fiancée. Not only that, Joseph was a courageous man. He was courageous enough to forgive and to love and to say no to his flesh. But he also knew that in a few months, Mary's pregnancy will become very obvious to the whole small town there. Is that right? The Tommy gonna come out. Some of you already got pregnant here. Some men in this church, you have Tommy. So you, I don't know how many months old now. But I remember say, I'm 9 months pregnant. Hallelujah. He's going to have to face public embarrassment. If he walk around with Mary, people are going to look at him, wow, this couple might have sexual relationship before marriage. Something going on with this couple. The Tommy is coming out before. Pam, 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 pam. Something is going on wrong here. So, but to save face, to really protect Mary, he wanted to quietly divorce her. Actually, he can be justified to stone her and to kill her because of the act of adultery. Look at his character. He's a man who is full of love and he's willing to face public embarrassment. In fact, after he heard from the angel that this baby actually was God, he changed his mind and he took her to be his wife, even though the baby was not his baby. Can you imagine? He took the woman who pregnant a baby who was not of his. Look at Matthew chapter 1, 20 to 24. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But, listen carefully, he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. God was speaking to Joseph. How God speaks to people. God spoke to people through the Bible, in a dream, by the angel, by the Holy Spirit, by prophetic word. And when God spoke to Joseph, he knew that what the angel spoke to Joseph was not against the Bible. One thing that you can differentiate the voice that you hear, or an angel stand before you and speaking to you. You know, sometimes the devil can come like a white angel, come with a beautiful cloth and say to you something. How do you tell that the word that come to you is from God? Very simple. Check with the Bible. If the word come from that angel, is against the Bible, is not according to the Bible, you can say no to it. And you say, no, I don't believe in this. You check with the Bible. And what the angel told Joseph was according to the Bible, because you know what? The Bible said that the Spirit can give birth from nothing. You remember in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, at the time of creation, the Bible said the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God can create something from nothing. So the Holy Spirit can create, can make the Son of God come into the womb of Mary without true conception, without having a relationship with a man. And Joseph knew right away that this is from the Lord. And what happened? He was courageous enough to obey the voice of God through that angel. Everyone say courage. Courage. To obey. Amen. He was courageous enough to take that woman to be his wife, who was not bearing his own son. And not only that, you need to understand, in doing so, he has to share the shame that he gonna face in that small town, because everyone gonna laugh at them. What is going on with this couple? Why they got pregnant before marriage? He has to share that condemnation and that shame in that town. And not only that, he has to provide for the child and function in the fatherly role as he raised him up. So he was courageous to obey God and took the role of a father. His courage helped him to overcome the stigma of becoming a husband of Mary, who was misunderstood by society at that time, why she was pregnant. Is that right? He's a man of integrity. In fact, he heard the angel say that the birth of Jesus must be from a virgin. And he was able to control his flesh. He did not even touch her. He did not, even though he had the right to have a sexual relationship with her after marriage, he did not touch her for 9 months until the baby came out. I believe that if you walk in the Spirit, you can control your flesh, especially sexual relationship. I have observed in the body of Christ that there are three areas that many people fall. Number one, money. Number two, pride. And number three, sex. God tried to tell us that sex is only for marriage. It has to be something holy and beautiful before the eyes of the Lord. I want to encourage all the young people in this church, all the single in this church, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get into sexual relationship before marriage. Amen. Joseph could do that. You can do it. Keep yourself pure before the eyes of God. Sex is only for marriage, babe. Not to play with all the time. You know, some people say, oh, you know, my sexual impulse is so strong. I cannot hold it. I have to do it. It's not true. You can control it. You can say no to it. Amen. And it can be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And start today. If you make mistake in the past, stop from today on. You don't need to keep repeating the same mistake. You just stop from today on and say, I'm going to live a pure life. I'm not going to get involved in sexual immorality. Joseph set a good example to us. He was a very courageous man that he was able to say no to his sexual drive and never touched his wife for 9 months for the glory of God. He loved God so much. He feared God so much that he would not destroy the plan and the prophecy of God in Mary's life. Amen? How many young people in this room promise that you're going to keep yourself pure before marriage? Raise your hand up. Can I see hand lift up high? Give hand to them. Amen. Hallelujah. If any man want to pass over your body, put the hand in your clothes or something, you can call me. I'm third degree black belt. Taekwondo. Okay? That man have to face me. If he's too big, I can ask him to face Pastor Caesar. He's bigger than me. Don't yield. Say no. You don't love me. You do this to me. Amen. Start from today on. If the mistake in the past, let it go. Let's start on today. Don't yield to sexual immorality. Amen. Give honor to the Lord. Why so quiet around here? Hallelujah. He was courageous to obey. And you need to understand that not only he has to take the girl with the baby that is not his, he has to share the shame. And he also has to take care, provide. He has to also take the risk of bringing this family out of the town into Bethlehem, going through all the risky, you know, I believe that the traveling is not easy like today. He has to walk on his feet and then the robber can come and then he has to take them to Egypt and take them back afterward. So he takes all this risk of being a father of Jesus Christ and a husband of Mary. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew 2:13-23. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord has said through the prophet. Because of the limited time, I stopped reading here. You can see that Joseph was a courageous man. He was leading the family through the hardship from one city to another city, to another city, back to another city. At that time, they don't have Toyota and Honda. They did not have an airplane to fly from one place to another place. They have to walk with slipper on their feet in the desert area. And they face all kinds of hardships and they face all kinds of risky situation. But he was courageous enough to look after and to protect Mary and the child, Jesus Christ. And after that, after Jesus Christ grew up, you never heard his name anymore. My dear brother, sister, I want to be like Joseph. I want to be a man of moral integrity, a man of courage, that I would do the right thing in the midst of corrupted society. I want to be a father like Joseph, who will protect my wife and my kids from the sinful things in this world. This story really helps us to understand about the birth of Jesus Christ. He's a man of courage. And you know, sometimes courage is needed at the time you are least expected. Is that right? Joseph was having a good life. Suddenly one day, the bomb dropped. I'm pregnant. From that day on, he need all the courage, sustaining courage until Jesus grew up. It means that Joseph must have cultivated that courage when he was a young man. How do we cultivate the courage in our life? How? It's by knowing our God. If you know your God, when I say know, I don't mean knowing as a subject in the school. I mean knowing intimately. You know him who he is. You know him as a personal God for yourself. You really know God. You have a personal relationship with God. You know that no matter what come on your way, your God is bigger. And your God can help you in the midst of adversity and difficulties and unexpected situation. You need to really know God. One of my prayers as a pastor in this church is that our members will really know the Lord. How? You need to be diligent. You cannot be lazy. In order to know something, you need to be diligent. Diligent in reading the Bible. You know the Lord by reading the Word of God. You know the Lord by looking at the nature, the things that He created. You know the Lord by studying the history in the world. One of our members said that he read a book about somebody went to Africa and the Lord helped him all through those hardships. And that's how you know the Lord, by reading the history, how the Lord works in the world. You know the Lord by listening to the sermon. That's why we give CD out for free, to help you the best I can to know the Lord. Our church is not here to make money. We're here to help people to grow spiritually. Amen. We know the Lord by the Spirit. I recognize now that since I have been touched by the fire of God, the Holy Spirit helped me to know Jesus deeper in my spirit than before. The Holy Spirit helped us to know the Lord. We need to cultivate that knowledge, knowing the Lord. The more you know the Lord, the more courage you have. Then you can do the right things in the midst of the adversities. And you will be able to do what God tells you to do courageously. You need to cultivate that courage by knowing the Lord. How many people promise God that you will build up that knowledge? You will know the Lord more and more each day. I want to conclude this sermon this way. I believe that all the children in this world need this kind of man. A courageous man like Joseph. Is that right? Who will do the right thing, set good example, stand firm on the truth, and know the Lord. I pray that one day all of your children will be able to say like this, my dad loves God. He is full of faith. He's full of courage. I'm so proud of my dad. How many people want your children to say that way? Not only that, not only all the children in the world need this kind of father. Wives or ladies long for a courageous husband. A husband who dare to lead the household into the things of God, not into the things of hell. The husband who are courageous enough to obey the Lord, even though it's very tough and very difficult to do. I would like to read the story of a man named Chris Spillman. How many people know Chris Spillman? He is a football player in 1995. This is a story. When Chris Spillman played for the Buffalo Bills, he was everything in a middle linebacker should be. Tough, strong, and smart with passion, total commitment, and loyalty to the game. He played the entire 1995 season with a torn pectoral muscle, but he sustained in the season opener. But the game took a distant second place in this thinking during the 1998 season. He chose to stay home. He cooked, took care of his kids, and cared for his wife by choice. Stephanie, Chris' wife, was struggling through the stark reality of breast cancer. Surgery, chemotherapy, and nausea were Stephanie's opponents. During her fight, Chris was at her side. His actions supported his family before job cradle. And in other words, he shows the family, not his reputation, not his success in his career. Asked by a reporter from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle if he would consider a return to the Bills late in the season, Spielman said, "I would play in a heartbeat, but what kind of man would I be if I back out on my word to my wife? I would not be a man at all." Football fans saw Spielman as a man because of his aggressive, leave to all on the field style of play. But what really makes him a man? It is his personal sacrifice and unending commitment and loyalty to his wife. Wife need a courageous husband who will stick to his word, will not cheat on her, will protect her, take care of her. Amen? All the men say amen. So that is the man Joseph that we learn today. Courageous man, full of faith. Now I want to add 5 more minutes here. That I and Pastor Da don't have only one family. I have a physical family here. I, Da, Joy, and Paul, and extended to Brendan and Tanida. That is my Lauhaprasit family. But as a Christian, we also have spiritual family. Is that right? The church is a family. So I and Da have kind of extended family in this house. You are my family. I want to say this to you. If all the Christians can think this way, that the church is not an organization. The church is not an institution that I come to get blessed and to get. Give me. The Christian can win the world. The problem that Christian cannot win the world because many Christians think that the church is just an institution that come and give me. But actually, church is the family. You are brother and sister. Men in the church need to rise up and protect the kids, protect the woman, and protect the church. Is that right? We need to be courageous men in the church to do everything to protect the church and to build the church. We are not here to tear down, but here to build up like Joseph. Joseph built his family. He looked after, he provided for his family. He protected his family. He was a very courageous man to look after his family and the kingdom of God. The same thing, men in this church, I would like to encourage you to rise up and protect the church. If you know you're called to be in this church, this is your family. Is that right? 2 days ago, I talked to Pastor Da. If I count this church as an organization, I tell you, I would leave long time ago. Really, I would leave long time ago. If somebody offend me a little bit, something, somebody say bad thing about me, I say, hey, I go to find another church. Maybe they are nice to me. But I cannot leave. How many dad in this room say, if your kid do a little bit wrong, your wife maybe cooked rice too cooked, and you say, I'm leaving. Bye-bye. You cook rice too, you make pizza too cooked. Maybe rice too Asian. How about pizza? I eat rice at home, that's why I talk about rice. You know, you don't say, I'm leaving, honey, kids, I'm leaving. And that's why there's so many divorces in America, because people don't understand about commitment in the church. If you cannot make commitment in the church, you will not commit to your wife and your kids. I cannot say I'm leaving. No matter what, thick and thin, high or low, I'm going to stick to this church. I'm going to be here. Amen. I'm not leaving. You don't even pay me. You don't even pay me to be here. Amen. So I want to encourage all of you men. Be strong. Be courage to do the right thing. build the church, pull up your sleeve, provide for the church, do everything for the church. Everything is for the kingdom of God. Is that right? Now come strong now. I need to talk to men in this church. Rise up and serve and be involved and build instead of tearing down. You know how you build? You build by encouraging people, cooperating with people, getting involved, share the Lord. You know what I mean? If people do something, Pastor Da did some good job, go encourage her, help her instead of going against her. The house needs to be in unity. We build together. We build a house together in unity so that the house will grow and be strong. Is that right? We need to be like Joseph, courageous to do the right thing instead of doing the fleshly thing. Amen. Don't go by the flesh. Go by the spirit. Amen. Amen. So I pray that there is no divorce in this house. Amen. Amen. No divorce. You say I do. You stick to it. Thick and thin. Stick to it. Never walk out of your marriage. Never run away from your kids. You stick to it. If you call to be in this church, stick to it. Don't treat this church as an organization. Come, if you give me, I stay. If you don't give me, bye-bye. That is not the Christian spirit. The Christian spirit commit to death. Amen. Jesus commit his life to you to die on the cross. We need to commit our life to death. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. So, if you don't chase me, I'm not going away. If you don't chase me away, unless I sin against God and you say, Pastor, you have to step down, then I step down, but I'm not going away. I'm going to stick to this church because I believe in commitment and courage. This society needs this kind of Christian. People in this society look down on Christianity for many years because men in the church were not committed. They were not committed to their wife. They were not committed to the church. They play church. They run around. Therefore, we need to show to this nation, to Seattle area, that Christianity is about commitment and courage and doing the right thing. Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to stand here to try to please you. I'm going to tell you the truth so you'll be changed. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing now. Hallelujah. Amen. All the men say, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Before the end of the service, I would like to pray for all the husband and the father in this house. How about all the men? Pray for all the men that God will give you the spirit of faith and courage like Joseph. And as I pray for the men also, I would like to invite those who want to accept Jesus Christ. Even though you are a woman, you can come out too. If you want to accept Christ, to come out here. I'd like to pray and lead you to accept Jesus Christ. If you never invite Jesus Christ into your life personally, you should do it today. Jesus said, I knock at the door. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You know, it's not enough just to go to church. It's not enough just to know about Jesus. But it's important to invite Jesus into your life. If you want to invite Jesus into your life, come out here too. You can come out with your friend or relative or loved one and we pray together. Amen. Hallelujah. How about this? All the men come out to stand on this side and give room for people who want to accept Christ to stand here. I'm not going to lay hand. I'll just pray for you. Hallelujah. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, come out here. Even though you are ladies, it's okay. Come out here to accept Jesus Christ. Wow. So many men. I'm proud of you. many churches have a lot of women. Our church have more men than women. That's good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can move down to here. Now, move down to here. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, come out here too. Men, you can move down to this corner now. Not enough room. Young men can come out too, young men. Young men. Not only grown up men. Young men too. Young men, come out here. Anybody that, and any man that is older than 1 year old. Older than 1 year old, you can come out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Before I pray for all the men, I'd like to ask people who want to accept Christ to follow my prayer first. Okay? Follow my prayer. Why don't we close our eyes and pray? For those who don't want to accept Christ, pray with me. Father in heaven, I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I need your forgiveness, Lord.
I need your forgiveness, Lord.
Please forgive my sin.
Please forgive my sin.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You are the Son of the Living God.
You are the Son of the Living God.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
You died on the cross.
You died on the cross.
To pay for my sin.
To pay for my sin.
And you were raised from the dead.
And you were raised from the dead.
On the third day.
On the third day.
I believe you.
I believe you.
With my heart.
With my heart.
I invite you, Jesus.
I invite you, Jesus.
To come into my life right now.
To come into my life right now.
To be my God.
To be my God.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
I give my life to you.
I give my life to
I'm
you.
I'm born again today.
I'm born again today.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give hand to those who just accepted Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift our hand up to heaven? Why don't you follow my prayer first? Make a commitment to God. Father in heaven, I want to be a man of courage, a man of integrity and faith. I learned today, Father, about the life of Joseph. Father, help me to be moral and righteous like Joseph. Help me by your Holy Spirit to have courage to live a moral life, to set a good example, to protect, to provide for my family. Help me, Lord, to love my family, my wife, my kids. Oh, Lord, I promise you that I will follow you and learn more about you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, I promise you, I will be the man of commitment in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray for you. Father in heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will put your Holy Spirit into their life. Fill them up, Lord, with your Spirit. Lord, they will be like Christ. They will, Lord, be bold to do the right thing. They will be committed people. I pray, Lord, the curses in their life are broken right now. They will have strength and power to overcome temptations. There will be positive people. There will be people of faith, Father. I pray, Father, that you bless their family, bless their wife and future wife, if they are single, Father. I bless their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Father. I pray, Father, that you will pour out your prosperity upon them, pour out your favor and your grace upon them. Father, the men in this church will love you. They will be example to this society. They will be the light and the salt of the world. They will, Lord, love you with all their hearts. Oh, Father, there will be courageous men that you are proud of. You will entrust to them the work for the end time like this to do. There will be trustworthy people, Father. Father, if they fall, you pick them up. And they will, Lord, keep moving, keep going with the Lord all the days of their life. Father, one day, their children and their wife will say, I'm proud of my dad. I'm proud of my husband. He is godly. He is the man of God. He is righteous and he is strong in the faith. In Jesus' mighty name, I bless them. Amen. Turn to each other and say, you are the man of courage. Hallelujah. 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 God bless all of you. Hallelujah. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.